This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and the new Supreme Court season has officially begun. We are now in the 2024-2025 Supreme Court season. So I want to spend this episode talking to you a little bit about the cases that the court has already agreed to hear and some of the cases that I think it might agree to hear. First off, the first big case that the court is going to hear will happen on October 8th. There will be oral arguments in a case involving so-called ghost guns. But this actually is not a Second Amendment case. This case is all about the power of an executive agency, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And they have tried to regulate ghost guns. And the question is whether or not they have the power to do that, or if Congress has to pass a new statute to regulate ghost guns. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's because the setup here is very similar to the bump stock case that we talked about last term. In that case, again, there was an executive agency. They tried to regulate bump stocks as being prohibited under existing congressional legislation. And the court said, no, the executive agency doesn't have the power to do that. If Congress wants to ban bump stocks, then Congress needs to act. And there is a possibility that this case could end up the same way. Now, a few more details on this case. And the federal law says that when you are selling firearms, you have to conduct a background check, you have to record transfers, and you have to have serial numbers. And what the new ATF rule does is it basically says ghost guns fall within that definition of a firearm. And therefore, when it comes to ghost guns, you need to do a background check, you need to record transfers, and you have to have serial numbers. Now, in this case, the lower court, the Fifth Circuit, which we will be hearing more about the Fifth Circuit found that the ATF just went too far. And they ruled, quote, that the ATF's decision here to regulate ghost guns flouts clear statutory text and exceeds the legislatively imposed limits on agency authority in the name of public policy. All of that is to say the Fifth Circuit thinks the ATF went too far and they did not have the congressional power to act. Now, a few interesting things to note. Chief Justice John Roberts, a conservative, and Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a conservative, joined the three liberal justices allowing this regulation to at least temporarily stay in place. So we'll have to see if this case turns out the same as the bump stock case. Now, the next big case I want to talk about is probably the biggest case of the term so far, and that's the Scarametti case. Now, this case deals with transgender rights for minors, and specifically, it deals with a Tennessee law that prohibits most medical treatments that would be considered gender-affirming care. Now, this is a 2023 law. About 20-plus other states have similar laws, and the law bans medical procedures like puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and gender transition surgery for minors who are, again, seeking gender-affirming care. The law does allow for minors to obtain hormone treatments if they began puberty too early or if they had already started hormone therapy. The question in this case is whether or not the Tennessee law violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. And specifically, what we're talking about here is whether or not the law should be considered a sex-based classification. Because there's an argument that the law bans medical procedures for transgender minors, but would allow those procedures for other minors. And this question of whether or not we should view Tennessee's law as a sex-based classification will determine the level of scrutiny that the court uses. And we know that there are different levels of scrutiny that the court applies to cases. And basically, if the court thinks that what Tennessee is doing is tantamount to a sex-based classification. They use something called heightened or intermediate scrutiny. Once you use that level of scrutiny, it's harder for the state law to survive. So it really matters how the court decides to view this classification. And the argument is that this is a sex-based classification because a cisgender male teenager could take testosterone, but a transgender male teenager could not. Now, we do know that sex-based classifications, as I said, are subject to this heightened or intermediate scrutiny. The Biden administration has argued here that classifications on the basis of transgender status should similarly be subject to heightened or intermediate review. So basically, two things going on here. One, should we view this as a sex-based classification? And two, if not, should we view distinctions based on transgender status as subject to the same heightened scrutiny as sex-based classifications? Another big case that the court is looking at deals with the power of the FDA. And this is a case about the FDA and e-cigarettes. And the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, denied two flavored e-cigarette companies' applications for authorization. They wanted to market new flavored e-cigarette products. Now, the FDA has the power to deny that application as long as it is not arbitrary and capricious. So there's a federal law, the Administrative Procedures Act, and it basically says to the FDA, yes, you have the discretion to make this call as long as it is not arbitrary and capricious. The FDA said that they thought with respect to flavored vape products, like the ones at issue here, that the potential benefit to adult smokers was much smaller than the potential downside or risk to youths. Now, here again, we're talking about the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit ruled that the FDA's denial was arbitrary and capricious. Another appeals court disagreed. So we have a circuit split, and here again, we have the Supreme Court who is going to have to decide, did the Fifth Circuit go too far? Now, here's another case. This is a case dealing with First Amendment rights, and it's called Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton. And the background here is we're talking about a Texas law which tries to protect minors from pornographic material. And generally speaking, it asks adults for age verification, but it does so in a way that is arguably intrusive, and so intrusive that it might infringe on the adult's First Amendment rights to access pornographic material. So the law is about limiting minors' access to online sexual materials. Again, and the way the law does this is to say you need to verify your age. But what adults are saying is that I don't want to submit a government-issued ID in order to access that material. That infringes on my First Amendment rights. Here again, we're talking about the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit upheld the law against a First Amendment challenge. I'm going to flag for you here that that conclusion by the Fifth Circuit does seem to be at odds with a 2004 case. In that case, it was called Ashcroft versus ACLU, and there the justices blocked a very similar federal law, and the court applied something called strict scrutiny to say that the federal law was suspicious, it violated First Amendment rights, and that was the court's conclusion in that case. So we'll have to see if in this Paxton case out of Texas, the court follows that 2004 case, again, the Ashcroft case. Now, another case that is going to be a big case this term and a case that the court just agreed to hear last Friday is a case by the Mexican government against U.S. gun manufacturers. And the Mexican government is arguing that U.S. gun manufacturers aided and abetted the illegal sale of military-style weapons and other guns to traffickers to be used by cartels in Mexico. And this case is all about the issue of whether or not the Mexican government can move forward with its suit. Now, a federal court judge in Boston said Mexico cannot move forward. They said that the suit was barred by a federal law called the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. That's about a 20-year-old law that prohibits many suits against the manufacturers of firearms. Essentially, what we have here is a federal law that gives pretty broad immunity to the makers and manufacturers of guns. But there was a unanimous 3-judge panel decision out of the First Circuit, and they said, no, you're wrong, that there's actually an exception to that federal rule, and it allows for these types of suits against gun manufacturers if the claim is for knowing violations of the federal law. So we have to see, this is a case of statutory interpretation and whether or not the Mexican government suit falls within that exception. There's a lot of other cases that I could mention here, but I want to wrap up this episode by talking about cases that I think could be added to the court's docket. So what is the first thing I'm going to say? We absolutely might get some post-election litigation. That depends on how close the election is. It depends on what the live legal issues are. It's really too difficult to know exactly what type of ballot access or voter rights cases we could get before the Supreme Court. And then there are, depending on who wins the presidential election, there are 2 federal criminal cases pending against former President Trump, and there are still issues in those cases. We could see an appeal regarding the Supreme Court's new standard on presidential immunity in the DC election interference case, meaning the losing side could appeal the trial court judge's order applying that standard. We could also see an appeal of an 11th Circuit decision that would be about whether or not Judge Cannon, who's the trial court judge in the Mar-a-Lago case out of Florida, was correct when she dismissed that case. So a lot more to discuss throughout the term. Again, the term lasts for a year, but the biggest cases are decided usually the last week of June. So please stay tuned. We will bring you all of the latest on the oral arguments and the decisions as the term continues.